Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, RDD, real damn deal. That's what Dante Fowler is. Let's see that this weekend, right? He got the nerves out of his way this past week against the New York Jets.
I enjoyed the angst yesterday from some of the fans on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
As Dante Fowler didn't win all his one-on-one matchups in practice yesterday against the Bucs, and after him not dominating against the Jets, people were like, well, is he just that good against Jaguars linemen?
Is it just Josh Wells?
Is it just the fact that Parnell isn't as good as we all think he is? Is that why Dante looked the way he looked? Dante's going to be fine. It's one practice. I'm not worried about it.
If Dante has 12 sacks this year, Tony, that's pretty good, right?
That's great.
That means he's made one exceptional play in three quarters of the games they play this year. Now, I get it. You can get pressures and you can make other big plays in addition to that. But,
12 sacks would put him, close to top 10, 15 in the league?
I would think top 10, something like that, right? He's going to get stonewalled sometimes. That's just the nature of the National Football League. J.J. Watt's not recording three sacks every week either. Dante Fowler Jr., by all indications from what we've seen, will be absolutely fine today. He doesn't qualify for our question of the day, okay?
Okay.
Guys who played last year, maybe I should – I assume people can infer certain things, and I think most people have on the question of the day, where we asked you today, courtesy of the Tom Bush family of dealerships, which returning Jaguar will be the most improved in 2016? Obviously, that doesn't mean guys like Malik Jackson and Tashaun Gibson, they're new to the squad. No rookies count in this. Dante Fowler Jr. doesn't count in this. A guy who played last year for the Jags, who is going to have the biggest improvement in 2016? You know, it's interesting. Just yesterday, we sat here with Mike DiRocco of ESPN, and Mike echoed what I think a lot of people felt. Jonas Gray still had a great chance to be the third running back on this football team. He had looked so good. You wonder how significant that quad injury is, Tony, as they let him go yesterday and pick up a defensive lineman who figures to be maybe a practice squad guy,
right.
You know, so Denard Robinson all of a sudden has to be on more secure footing right now with the Jags, you got to believe.
Yeah, you would think more secure for a team that's probably going to wind up keeping four running backs. So Corey Grant and Denard Robinson look much more likely to be making this roster this year. By the way, looking at the sack numbers from last year in the NFL, how many players in the entire league do you think had double-digit sacks?
Eight.
The number is 16.
Okay,
16 players had double digits. 12 would put you in a tie for sixth in the league. So that's the kind of company we're talking about if he's going to get into that kind of range. You're talking about him being one of the top 20 pass rushers in the National Football League. And I think Dante is capable of that kind of thing. But getting back to the Gray deal, look, we all said Gray seems like the guy going through the offseason that if Ivory or Yeldon were hurt and they needed somebody to come in and be the feature back, that Gray's the guy that you would go to. Right? Like, that's the guy that could come in and be the 20 carries. He's going to be comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Do they want to keep three guys on the roster that are that guy, or do they want to keep two and then find roles for the other running backs on this team? That was the question we were asking throughout the offseason. Whether it's the injury or the Jaguars answering that question for us yesterday, that they're not interested in keeping three feature backs basically on this roster, he's no longer going to be a part of the plan.
I got to believe the injury played a major role in this. And I don't know. We'll see if he gets picked up soon and if he's able to work out for team soon, how quickly that quad heals. But regardless, we saw that happen yesterday. Jags escape unscathed for the most part from practice yesterday. We'll hear today what Gus Bradley had to say after practice. Jalen Ramsey speaking with the media, Telvin Smith speaking with the media. J.P. Shadrick is going to join us. You know, I've been trying to book J.P. for quite a while now on the broadcast. And finally, he decided to grace us with his presence, which I appreciate very much. And he's going to join us coming
up
next.
He's a big-time podcaster now, right?
He's a podcaster. He is a dot-com millionaire. He is certainly pre- and post-game host extraordinaire. Not to mention in-game updates. I mean, J.P. Shadrick basically is Jaguars broadcasting from my standpoint. But he's going to join us today. Ryan O'Halloran's going to join us today. And others will stop by as well. We're live right outside Everbank, right outside the Florida Blue practice fields. A little bit steamier, I think, today, Tony. Am I wrong about that? Is it a little hotter out there today?
I can't tell. The humidity seems like it's about the same. I'd rather be where we're usually at, but we're in a nice shady spot.
We're not in a too bad a spot right here. Yeah. There actually is a smidge of a breeze blowing here today, unlike yesterday. So I don't think it's nearly as bad. Hey, if you're on your way out here, hope to see you. Stop by, say hello. We had some people taking pictures yesterday, posting them on Twitter. We're not going to bite you. You know,
no.
Tony might, but I won't. I promise.
Say hello.
I promise I won't bite you. Come by and say hello. We take the headset off on the break for the most part, unless we don't want to talk to you. Then we pretend like we're still on the air. So it's not that hard to figure out. All right. Come back. We'll talk with J.P. Shadrick, get his observations on how the week of practice has gone for the Jaguars and where things stand with the home preseason opener coming up this Saturday night. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, along with Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Again, question of the day. Brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Which returning Jag will be the most improved in 2016? Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Also on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, you can text or call the show at 641-1010, the text line driven by Duval Ford. It's Jaguars Today, live at training camp on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Feel the roar of the Jaguars.
Fires to the corner of the end zone for Allen Robinson. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Is there a reason we're playing Freeze Frame for J.P. Shattuck? I'm just trying to – it's just an odd choice. I like the song. It's a fine song.
No, no, no meaning at all. No.
No personal connection to this one, J.P.
No, I have no idea. I mean, I didn't use the pitch or anything. I didn't paint the corners. Freeze Frame. Strike
Freeze Frame. Looking. That's
no,
a good one.
That's not me.
This is Jay Giles' band, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm not that
I believe
old.
You're correct.
Think so. All right. I just hadn't heard this in a while. It's just kind of out of the blue. That's all. J.P. Shattuck here with us.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Jaguar broadcaster extraordinaire, as I've dubbed you many times. How are you?
I appreciate that, but it is that's a little too much.
Not
thank you.
It is accurate, and
it's
you
just,
know it.
I'm glad to be on
your
program,
you're a
finally.
Grinder. Oh, finally.
I've been trying to be in your program all camp.
You're so...
I've been here every day.
You're so full.
For hours.
Yeah, because, well, I believe you have your own goings-on during the time we're on the air from time to time. You do some of that .com stuff.
Yeah, you know what?
He doesn't want to be on our show. We're just in the shade.
He just came on to plug his .com work.
He's over here now.
You have a nice tent here.
It is a nice little spot, right? Today, I'm feeling better about it today. I was a little salty yesterday, JP, because I got this big black tarp behind me. Impeding my view. But hey, what can I tell you?
But you're shaded. You're not going to sweat it out today.
Correct.
That's positive.
So, that is a positive. So what do you got on .com, by the way?
We've got live today at 10:45. We'll show the Jaguars wide receivers against the Buccaneers defensive backs today in one-on-one period. They're not. Usually we'd show the whole practice. That's what we did earlier in camp. But with the other team in, they don't want to show all this stuff and have it archived. So. We're going to back off of that a little bit. Show some one-on-ones. We're good with that. Probably about 15 minutes of coverage. You can see it archived if you miss it live on the website today. And Jeff Loggeman will jump on and do some live analysis with us.
I like it, man. You guys do a great job, all kidding aside, with so many interactive features that kind of, you know, if you're a fan of the Jags, I think you get as much access through Jaguars.com as you do on any team's website around the league.
I think, and that's our football side saying, hey, guys, we like this thing. Transparency, it's not just a word that they use. It's a real thing. And they're not going to give us access to the game plan meetings. We don't need that. That's not what they want.
Here's Gus's first 15 plays.
No, we're never going to get that. We don't want that. But the ability to listen to an idea and say, yeah, we kind of like guys mic'd up in certain situations. Or we like this. Or Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have been fantastic. Their entire, now going into their fourth year here, with Jaguars.com, and you know, a lot of places don't let them do anything. I mean, anything. The Colts.
Right. Yeah.
The Colts are one team, especially in the old days, where you
the Polian regime.
Ask John Osier.
Yeah.
It was tough to write or do anything for that
Well,
site.
Bill Polian wanted to save it all for his radio show.
There you go.
Right? So, and then he would drop bombs on his radio show from time to time.
So it's a different world here, and it's a great place to be, and they're very, very helpful for us.
What did you see yesterday? I mean, you know, it's not – these are not full-scale gladiatorial combat days here between the Jags and the Bucks.
I think a lot of people wanted that, though.
I think, well, you do. I mean, people, there's that whole segment of, you know, football, rah, 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 you know. And there is, I do believe, to a degree, coaches like a little pushing and shoving. They don't like when it crosses a certain line. They want to keep their guys healthy. But they sometimes, especially if it's going to come you know, from the 80th guy on the roster. You know, I think they do enjoy that as a tone setter, as long as it doesn't get carried away.
A little bit I saw yesterday was I think everybody was glad to have something different, maybe push another team around a little bit. But talking to the teams after, there was never going to really be a fight yesterday. I think they were told about it beforehand. A lot of guys know each other on both sides. A lot of Florida State guys.
Really,
by the way,
is
everywhere.
Quite the contingent between these two.
So I don't know if that's ever going to be the case, even today. So there are too many pros on both sides to make that happen. Now, I did see one thing that stood out to me when I was watching Jaguars defense against Bucks offense the short time I watched that side was the Jaguars DBs had a pretty good day, I thought, at least in the team setting, 11-on-11. I think Prince Mukamura stood out to me. And he's had a decent camp here, fine, but to see him against another opponent where he actually go in and rip a ball out and actually make contact and do real defensive back things, he stood out and had a good day yesterday.
He's an overlooked guy, overlooked addition.
He's a really talented guy. And he was the whole time he was up in New York, too. It was never a question of how good a football player Prince Mukamura is. It was a question of can he stay healthy.
That's right.
And in Jacksonville, honestly, with the depth they have at that position, if he has to miss some time at some point this season, they ought to be all right without Prince Mukamura. The Giants just weren't in a position where they were. When Prince went down, that was it. Yep. You know, that's the guy coming off the field for the Jags. There are, you know, three guys that you can kind of point to at that cornerback position potentially being the guy with House and Ramsey and Mukamura.
Yeah, and then Colvin back after week four, coming back week six. If anything, and we don't want anything to happen to Prince, but how about week six or later? Because that's when you have Colvin back in the mix and you can have some numbers then. So keep him on the field, and guess what? You're right. That DB group is pretty deep now.
Did that surprise you? We talked quickly at the opening of the show, Jonas Gray being let go. He does have the injury, but I thought it really stood out, really looked exceptionally good when he was healthy. Yeah. And clearly, you got to be, you know, best ability is availability is one of those old football cliches, and he hasn't been that. Was it a case, as Tony suggested, maybe they wanted a little bit more versatility in the ranks, or how did you see that decision?
Well, it sounds like if it was close to being back, he'd be back. I mean, for me, if he's banged up enough to cut him, then he's pretty banged up, in my opinion. At some point, he'll get healthy, and somebody will take a chance on him again at some point, if it's not the Jaguars. So I think it was an injury. It was a worse injury than I think everybody around here talking about the team realized. So they had to let him go, and I think that's just part of it. You need guys on the field in camp, no matter what position that is. So you go out and bring back a guy you're fairly familiar with or you had a couple years ago in this camp. So. And like you guys were talking about earlier, that running back group now, I don't know if it's totally thinned out where you know 1, 2, 3, 4 all the way down, but it's a little
pretty close.
Clearer now than it was yesterday.
Yeah, I'd be so at this point in time, barring a pickup of somebody who's not currently on the 90-man, I mean, if they're keeping four, Ivory, Yeldon, Denard, and Corey Grant would be a big surprise to me if it weren't that group.
Yeah, I mean, Banyard's around. Remember, he's been in the league for 4 years. He's been a special teams guy for a couple of different teams. Does he stand out in that role enough to overtake one of those guys? I don't know. That's a tough question.
JP Shadrick here with us on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Question we ask our listeners today is,
boy,
which returning Jag? I know you've been struggling with this one, right, on the
man,
break?
It's tough.
There are some good candidates for this that I've seen suggested, but which returning player makes the biggest on-field improvement in 2016? Who are at least the guys you're trying to decide between
gosh.
Here?
Okay, so Sipp came to mind first, but I can't trust him yet because it's a different role for him this year, and he hasn't really...
Should be a more suited role for his skill set. That's what we're told.
Well, and the talent that secondary should be so much better around Jonathan Cyprian with Gibson coming in. We talked about the cornerback position this year, too. Looks like it could be a strength.
Right. Should be is the key words there, though. So we just really don't know. So I can't put my eggs in the Sipp basket right now as the best returning player. That's where I'm at right now. That's the first name that popped to mind.
Okay.
Dan Scooter's another one. Banged up a little bit, fought through some stuff last year. He's changing roles a little bit. They'll move him into Leo a little bit, pass rushing, back to Otto, back and forth. Does that help him out? Does that suit more to his game? That's a possibility on the defensive side, too. Now on the offensive side, Tony, you were talking about it. I think T.J. Yeldon has a chance if he can stay on the field and stay healthy, which was a little bit of a knock at Alabama. To be a guy with another force at running back beside him, how do they trade those reps? Do they get in certain situations the right way with Greg Olsen putting them in the game at the right time? That's a question, too. And I think there might be a few too many circumstances right now to say, hey, Yeldon's the most improved. Because what if Ivory gets all the dang carries?
Like, yeah.
If he's running well, TJ might not hit the field as much. And so that's kind of where I'm at with this thing. A lot of people have said, like, Allen Robinson or something. I mean, a great year, Pro Bowl year, 1,400 yards, all that. Statistically, it's hard to top that.
Right.
But I think there are things better he can do. He can run better routes. And he'll tell you, he'll be the first to tell you that, consistently run better routes. And how that equates to statistics, who knows? I mean, you don't know. Maybe he gets shorter passes at times, and that's something where Blake has to improve too. Could Blake be improved?
A lot of people have suggested, certainly if they're going to go where they want to go, which is the postseason, that it needs to be Blake improve. Do you think he's going to take a major step forward this year? And if so, how is that going to manifest itself?
Well, I mean, we're talking to Nathaniel Hackett on the self-proclaimed J.P. Shadrick podcast.
Love it.
The other day, the quarterback's coach. It's on Jaguars.com, by the way, cheap plug. Blake, they like his downfield passing ability, the fact that he can get it down there. He may not be totally accurate with it, like the play in New York last Thursday. Probably should have been a touchdown if he throws it a little out further in the hashes. He threw it back towards the left side, and A-Rob had to jump for it. Not a big deal. Got it down there. Great catch. A-Rob, that's what the receivers do well here is 50-50 balls. So the touch on the shorter game is where he's got to get better. And if he has time for that, that's one key with the offensive line. They feel that that's going to come with the knowledge of the offense and the timing of the receivers and all that. All of it coming together, I think that's where that completion percentage will come up a little bit. Now, I don't think they're worried about completion percentage as a number. Hey, we need 63% for us to win 8 games. That's not where they're at right now. At least they didn't tell
us
that.
Right. It doesn't have to be that number, but it has to. It does, but it doesn't. You know what I mean?
It has to look and feel better.
Right,
know?
Right.
More consistent, more kind of confidence in this offense and Blake Bortles' ability to get the ball from point A to point B on a consistent basis in the short intermediate game. The long game's going
to
be there.
I think it's, for Blake, to me, it's less about, I want to see him throwing less 50-50 balls. Not because I don't think Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns are really good in that kind of area, because I want Blake to see before the snap, this is where this play needs to go, as opposed to, all right, nothing happened here, let me just go give my guy a chance. And look, last Thursday, I talked about it on Friday when we came back, one of my favorite plays from Blake in the entire game was a play where he just threw it to Chris Ivory out in the flat, where he hit his back foot. That's where the play needed to go. That's where it was open. And he picks up 4 or 5 yards on that play. He didn't do enough of that in his first 2 years. I need him to see before the snap, this is where the ball needs to go and make good decisions.
And that's a good point, Tony, because that's where his game will step up, too. He has so much more knowledge of this offense and what defenses can do against it now after another year in it, another offseason in it, working with Hackett and Olsen and the receivers on the field, that those decisions will come much faster now, and that's the difference for Blake.
Let me.
By the way, you can't get rid of the 50-50 ball altogether. You got to dance with the girl you brung. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they started. That's where they got a lot of their success early. You don't totally eliminate that from the game. You're going to throw up some 50-50 balls from time to time because that's what your guys do well.
Right. And I know it's become fashionable to say that those are not 50-50s with Allen Robinson, but I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
That, you know, he has a better chance just because of his sheer size. If you're throwing it up high, he's got a better chance of coming down with it than almost every defensive back in the league. So it's a better percentage play than the name may indicate.
I'll give you this, though. He's got a better percentage than that of making the catch if he's wide open with a better
route. Of course he does. Of course he does. But on those balls, look, everybody, every quarterback has to throw to covered receivers from time to time.
Right.
And
so, it's the league, man.
You know, it's nice to have a guy with that kind of size and ability and drive. It looks like he's come back to prove that last year wasn't the fluke. What about a guy like Luke Jokel, who I thought, you know, played pretty well the other night. Not earth-shakingly well, but for a guy who's probably, if there's one poster child for the Jaguars' lack of success over the last 3 years, if he's going to be one whipping boy in terms of a guy on the roster, it is Luke Jokel because he was the first draft pick of this regime, and he hasn't played like you would hope a number two overall pick would play, right? Doesn't mean his career is over with. Maybe it was the fire lit under him with the signing of Kelvin Beachum. Maybe it's just physical maturity, whatever the combination. Maybe he has the best year of his career in a Jaguar uniform, and at the end of the season we say, you know what, we didn't expect it, but maybe he is the most improved guy.
Yeah, maybe he's most improved because he moves to left guard.
I mean, maybe you're right, but maybe he is. But maybe he becomes just a much more consistent, reliable player.
Probably. It's his fourth year, and I think the little bit of that motivation with having Beachum around I think there's something to that. I don't think that overwhelms him. Oh, I got to play better now because Kelvin Beachum's going to take the left tackle job. I think it's still a straight-up competition, and he's still getting better each and every day, it seems like, just talking to him. He feels stronger. He feels more confident. And he's pretty confident in the left guard spot, too, and asking him about it. He had never played it before this last offseason, ever. Like, he had never played guard. So you got to learn how to ride that bicycle a little bit. It's a little different. You have a shorter space, more strength coming at you. And, hey, guess what? What if he goes out and wins the left guard job?
What if he does?
Think about it that way.
Yeah.
You know, what if he's the best left guard and he goes out and proves that, and he's a left guard?
I'll say this.
Do guards, and this is a crazy question to think about, is tackle money going to be that much different than guard money in the future for a free agent if Jokel goes to free agents?
I think so. I think potentially, yeah. I know players always say, well, I always work hard. I'm not singling him out because you hear from every single player, right, that this guy, this competition isn't making me go any harder. I've always been self-motivated. Yeah. I think it's BS. All right, I do think someone comes for your job,
you
find that extra reserve and you go – that extra mile, whatever cliche you want to throw on it. So, and I don't think that's a knock that he couldn't find that. I'm not using this specific to him because I hear every player say that who gets challenged. Oh, it's always been about internal motivation. Oh, that's fine. The reality is we are externally motivated as well. So, hey, whatever it takes, I hope he's playing his best football this year for us. All right, what do you have coming up? You've got Gene Dekeroff, conversation with him for the pregame this week.
Every time I talk to Gene, by the way, I feel very, very lazy as a broadcaster because this guy's like driving all over the state of Florida. Hey, I got to be in Fort Pierce for this thing. Jimbo's show starts next Wednesday in Tallahassee. I got to drive back there. I'm here today. It's unbelievable. So we're going to sit down with Gene Dekeroff, the great voice of the Bucks and the Seminoles, for the pregame show. I'll sit down with him after practice today. And then we've got Jaguars.com Live. We'll show the Jags wide receivers, the Bucks DBs one-on-ones coming up. That's at 10:45, so 12 minutes from right now. Jeff Lagerman and I will have the call of that.
Through the miracle of modern technology, J.P. Shatter can be in multiple places in a short span of time.
That's right, and but not as far distance as Gene Dekeroff. That's the only difference.
Correct.
Also tonight, Jaguars Radio, the Gus Bradley show is at 6 o'clock with Lagerman. That's on the entire Jaguars radio.
Will we have
network.
Gus today, or does he have a walkthrough?
I think Gus is on, finally, for the first time.
Right.
I believe. Don't quote me on that. And then Jaguars Thursday right after that, 7 to 8 with Lagerman, Baselli, and myself right here on 1010XL.
Love it. Good stuff, brother. Go get him, man. We'll see you on Jaguars.com coming up in a few minutes.
Glad to finally be on your program,
guys. Oh, my gosh. Get out of here.
It's awesome.
We'll see you. We'll see you probably all day.
I'll see you later.
but we'll definitely see you on Saturday for the pregame. There he goes, J.P. Shatterick. Thank you so much for stopping by. Before we get to Ryan O'Halloran, who's coming up here in just a few minutes from the Florida Times Union, we're going to discuss his budding bromance with Jalen Ramsey. But let's get Claude in on the phone lines in Bartram Trail. Hi, Claude. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, man. What's going on?
What's up?
I just really believe Rashard Greene is going to be the X factor in this offense. This guy's in the second year. He's kind of banged up last year. But I just got a lot of faith that this guy's going to be the X factor. They're going to double up on Allen, and he's going to be left wide open. I think he's going to be the X factor for Jaguars.
All right. I don't think anyone's going to be just leaving Rashad Greene wide open, but I got your point.
And if X-Factor means a guy who could be really, really effective for this football team on third down, then I think that could be the definition of Rashad
Greene. And certainly a dynamic return guy. He showed that he has that ability last year. All right, we'll add Rashad Greene's name to the list. The question today asking you which Jaguar, returning Jaguar, will be the most improved for 2016. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union straight ahead. It's Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Always telling you about what a great option they are for lunch. You know why? Because they are a great option for lunch. Are you kidding me? Lunchtime's coming up. It's the next meal. You got a shot at Dandy. You're sitting there thinking, what am I going to have for lunch? Oh, man, I didn't pack it today. I don't want to sit in the drive-thru. No, you don't do any of those things. You go to Circle K. You go to Kangaroo Express. Go to any place where fine Dandy and Anytime Deli food is served. and you pop in, you head right to the fresh case, you look at the amazing variety. That's your toughest thing, deciding which Dandy sandwich or sub you're going to have today. That might be your hardest choice all day long because every variety is good, fresh, delicious, quality ingredients, bread baked here locally. Only the finest companies that they work with. They've been in business for over 6 decades because they've got a formula figured out. They deliver all that to you at a very affordable price. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to get your money's worth, and that's important. Dandy, a great option for breakfast, for lunch, for tailgating, for food on the go. Anytime, you don't want to waste your time and waste your money. Go with Dandy, a name you can trust. Do what I do when you're hungry, folks. Go out and make yours a Dandy today.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Did Timberlake do this one, Tony?
I don't think so.
Pretty sure he didn't.
Tyler?
My man. I thought we were boys. Rhino Howard, Florida Times Union, sitting in with the boys here on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank God this is the last open practice.
You have had enough.
I've had enough.
you were remarking when you sat down with us on the break that the intensity wasn't quite what you expected yesterday.
Well, I'll preface that by saying I didn't know what to expect because in all my years I've never covered a joint practice. Just the teams I've covered didn't do them. But I thought there'd be more competitive situations, which would be producing more intensity, but there wasn't like goal line, there wasn't 2 minute. And it seems like both teams just sort of went, okay, let's just get through today and get through tomorrow and play Saturday night. And, you know, the players are saying, too, that, hey, you know, it wasn't what we expected, but that's not a bad thing either.
Right. It sounds like they're ready for training camp to be done as well and all that practice stuff as well. Anything stand out to you from what you saw yesterday?
Couple things is I thought Jameis looked great. He looks great physically in terms of dropping some weight. I mean, you could tell that the Tampa Bay and Jacksonville were running two different plans on offense. On the middle field is Blake Bortles. All you saw is footballs flying downfield, and Tampa Bay was about check down Wednesday. So different offenses, but I thought Jameis looked good. On the Jag side, I thought Mukamara had another good practice.
Hold on. Hacker Nation, you're not even going to wave to us as you walk by? Come on, man.
Dirk, I have to get this recruit.
You were saying, Prince Mukamara?
I thought he had a nice practice, but I'll give you today's update if you hadn't gotten yet. Allen Robinson, Ramsey, Ivory, Pazlesny, Lewis, Miller getting the day off and not practicing again. Sample, Wells, and Sheldon Day, which is continuing to be interesting.
Yeah. The back, yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going on there.
Well, a lot of that I would think is just Veterans Days off.
The first six were days off. The only three guys who sat out because of injury were Sample, Wells, and Day. And Bennett, excuse me.
This is Jalen. Was asked yesterday about wanting to play last Thursday and resting his knee. Let's go to the final Jalen Ramsey cut on the sheet, Tyler, if we could. Let's hear what he had to say about that yesterday.
No, man, I wanted to play. I mean, it is what it is, man. I got to be smart about it. I just came off knee surgery. I'm still, to this day, getting some rest off of me, getting in the swing of things, getting in the groove of things. Appreciate it. I mean, it's just about being smart, man. It's the preseason. I'm trying to be 100% by Packers. I'm very, very close to that, so there's no need. I just trust in the coaches and the training staff and on what they say about things. But, of course, I want to play and be out there with my teammates. Come on.
He seems frustrated there, maybe that's not the word.
It's funny how none of these other cowards can ask that question, but they all use the quotes and the sound. Somebody's got to be the bad cop. I thought I'd give him a softball. I said, how disappointing was it to not play last week? Fair question.
Of course it is.
He didn't like it. And then that pissed me off.
Nobody's saying you're not wanting to play.
That pissed me off because I thought I asked a decent question that would take care of him. So I followed up by saying, what did you set out a week for? Did you have a setback? And then I left after that. But everybody, you know, so kid, some growing up to do.
Why is he sitting out so much?
Don't know. They call it precaution, but as me and Brett Martineau has said throughout the week and agreed with me, is maybe there was some swelling, some soreness. I mean, he practiced every day up until that preseason game. Then they called it, we're just going to let him get a couple days off. Okay, that flew then. But
then when you don't practice over the weekend, those two games, or those two days.
But it goes back to what we were talking about with Beecham, is do they regret not giving him some days off early? and then maybe putting them on a better plan now, because the practices are getting more important now.
Right.
So, but so anyways, but I think maybe y'all try to get inside the kid's head. Maybe he's a little frustrated because right now he's backup.
Right.
So,
but he's backup because he's not out there, hasn't been out there much, at least.
That's what we know.
Right.
And that's maybe not what he believes.
Well.
So, but, so, anyways.
I don't mind my cornerbacks having a chip on their shoulder. I kind of want them to have a chip on their shoulder.
Treat everybody with professionalism.
I understand.
And there was some other stuff going on afterwards that we don't need to talk about, but we'll talk about off the air.
You can, can we get to an early break, Tony?
No doubt about it. I know you said not very eventful at practice yesterday. I would expect it to be less eventful today. They're not even in full pads. They're just in the shells out there. But what can we pick up from what we've seen these couple days?
Well, I hope this line is used today on the practice field. I'll see you Saturday night.
There you go.
Let's settle the score Saturday night. But what we can learn, not to sound dumb, but nothing. I mean, you watch the corner drills. I mean, Devon House got beat a couple of times, but you could tell he was trying some different things. Like, he let Mike Evans go right by him one time because I think he wanted to see if he could catch up and then get out of his break. So I think what the benefit of this is guys on both sides can sort of test out their techniques against a guy that you don't face every day. So that's my main takeaway.
What are you looking for Saturday night then to show that they're on the right path?
Just a continuation on offense. Punch it in on that red zone.
How much do you think they'll play, frontline guys?
That's going to be the interesting one because normally in that second game you maybe go a quarter in a series. But I wonder if Gus is going to talk to his coaches tonight and tomorrow saying, okay, pretty hard practices these 2 days. Do we keep it down to 20 snaps again? Maybe you'll see some altering of that. But starters on offense went 18 snaps last week. The normal progression would be 25. And then on defense, they only got 10 snaps. I think they'll just up it a little bit. You know, they have some new guys out there, but I think they need to get some work in.
Who do you want to see? I mean, who are you? You know, Miles Jack or is somebody else?
Well, Gibson would be if he, I would expect him to play when he's out there. And then on offense is who starts at left guard. Berendu's taken the first team reps there the last 2 days. Right now it would be a shock if Jokel's not your week one left tackle, wouldn't you think?
At this point, not knowing anything
depends on
that's
Beecham
progressed with Beecham,
there,
right?
You know,
right.
You know, if we're sitting here next week and he still hasn't practiced.
Right, but if he's fully practicing next week, then I think that's still enough time. That's me. Do you think it was a case they gave Reed the game and they're going to do kind of that with Bernardo this week?
Maybe not the whole game because I think they probably need Bernardo to play a little center in the second half. But I think Reed then would take over at the guard spot. But to me, this is like Bernardo is okay. We've sort of moved you around a lot, and now it's okay. Now let's see if you can win a job. Because I thought throughout camp, he wasn't as terrible as people thought in one-on-one. His record reflects that. But I thought maybe they were just moving around because they knew he was going to make the team. They needed somebody who had reps at all three spots.
Yeah, it could
maybe
be
I'm
case.
Totally wrong.
Now you might. Well, we'll find out, I guess, and see how it plays out this
and
weekend.
It seems like another week where Jokel's not going to get any guard snaps in a game.
Which,
right.
Tony, you're 100% right. That's a concern. Because their master plan doesn't have him playing there when the games count, be it week two or week three. And these are the best times to get those reps in the preseason games, too. So, you know, what you're looking at is if Beecham is eventually ready week two, week three, week one, how comfortable is Jokel going to be moving inside when he hasn't played there a lot?
What are you writing about the next few days?
Tomorrow's paper, Phil Pyleman is going to write Jameis Winston. He's talking after practice. And then I talked to Ron Jaworski before practice, so get some insight from him. And then on Saturday going into the game, we're going to talk about, ironically, the offensive line in terms of, okay, Gus, where do you think you are right now? What's your best five right now? Because even we don't know that of healthy,
right.
Of healthy guys.
Right. Well, you got to think they know who four of them are at the moment, mm-hmm. and it's just coming down to the left guard spot, but maybe not ideal the way they want to start the season. All right, Ryan O'Halloran. Florida Times Union on Twitter, simply at Ryan O'Halloran. We'll catch up with you sometime next week, and we'll look back on week two of the preseason.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Ryan O'Halloran, going to stir up some more trouble with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's doing his job, and I respect him for it, and I think probably a lot of other people do as well. You know, we all know those guys, Tony. They don't want to pipe up.
Sure. And look, I think since Ramsey got here, it's been on a bad foot, you know, with everything that's going on. He had the meniscus injury, you know, basically in the rookie orientation, and he's been very standoffish about that basically every time he was asked about it. And look, it's everyone wants to know because the fans want to know when Jalen Ramsey is going to get back on the field. So we asked that question as members of the media. Ramsey doesn't want to have to answer those questions. Well, now he's being held out of a preseason game and 5 days of practice. Everyone wants to know what's going on with Jalen Ramsey. That's why the questions get asked. But he's really, really ornery about it every time.
Well, yeah, because from his perspective, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but from his perspective, I'm sure he thinks it's kind of questioning his toughness, right? Well, why aren't you out there? Why aren't you out there? Why aren't you playing? You're supposed to be fine. And, you know, we get it, but how are we supposed to find out unless you ask those kind of questions? You know, no one's saying, hey, you're not out there because you're soft. That's not what's happening whatsoever. But what is the timetable? Did you have a setback? Those are legitimate kind of things. Coming up next, this Dayton football, the Honda drive around the NFL. T-Wig's going to join us a little bit later. I will hear a little bit from Gus Bradley and Telvin Smith following practice from yesterday as well. All that coming your way as we're live down here at Everbank just outside the Florida Blue practice fields. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. I remember the set of facts from last year, Tony. This is the day in 1986 when Jim Kelly signed, left the USFL, and came to the Buffalo Bills for a five-year contract, at the time the richest in professional football. 5 years, $75 million for Jim Kelly. 1 year later, Earl Campbell retired from the National Football League. The Houston Oilers now enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Running back Herschel Walker took out a Lloyd's of London insurance policy, one of the first million-dollar policies ever awarded to an athlete. That was on this date in 1981. Birthdays for this date? How about Yurko? Yurko was born on this date, 49 years old, still holding it down in the city of Chicago on the airwaves. Return man extraordinaire Brian Mitchell turns 48 today, born in this date in 1968. We saw this guy yesterday. I haven't seen him yet today. Paul Spicer is back.
Happy birthday, Spice.
He's back
man.
With the enemy, but he's turns 41 years young. Paul Spicer, born on this date in 1971. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225, or visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Jordy Nelson passed his physical and came off the physically unable to perform list yesterday. That according to the NFL's transaction wire. The Green Bay Packers wide receiver started on the PUP list after feeling discomfort in his non-surgically repaired left knee this summer, 24 days until the Packers visit the bank to open up the season. Terrell Suggs went on Mike and Mike this morning and was asked about the current relationship the players have with Commissioner Roger Goodell.
We don't have one. From our perspective, he got his favorites and he's got the kind of guys he likes to talk to and hang out with and just, you know, kind of chop it up with. But a lot of us ain't those guys. A lot of us ain't under center making $20 million, making $20 million a year. So we're not his favorites.
Terrell Suggs calls it non-existent, their players' relationship with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has approved its new refund policy for its fiasco with the field at the Hall of Fame game. Fans will receive their money back for the face value of each ticket, plus shipping and handling fees, parking, and also one night of stay at the hotel. I know a lot of fans were upset that they didn't get a lot of their trip refunded, so the Hall of Fame is redoing its refund policy. Marcell Dareus was suspended yesterday for 4 games for violation of the league substance abuse policy, and he explained what happened yesterday and kind of also gave an apology.
It was a missed test, but at the same time, I know who I have the answer to, and that's what it is. I'm just apologizing to my team and my family, and I embarrassed my kids, and I apologize to Terry and Rex and everyone else, and everyone. They have my back. They said, we're a family. We're going to stand by you. But at the same time, like I said, words doesn't mean anything. Now it's all action.
Jets rookie quarterback Christian Hackenberg did not see any snaps against the Jags last week, with Geno Smith and Bryce Petty getting much of the game after Ryan Fitzpatrick went out in the first quarter. Kind of an odd thing for the second-round draft pick of a team to not see the field in a preseason game. Well, head coach Todd Bowles said yesterday that Hackenberg is in the plans this week to get some snaps. And, Tony, you got to believe that if Hackenberg has a strong showing, It could put some pressure on Geno Smith to be moved out of New York, right?
I guess. We'll see exactly what they're trying to do. It feels like they're going to try to move, you know, I would think Geno Smith or Bryce Petty.
One of them.
One of them you would think would be trade bait when everything is said and done. And it sounded like when we talked to Rich Samini last week before the Jets game that the plan was that it sounded like Hackenberg wasn't going to get any snaps in week one of the preseason. And I think part of that is they wanted to showcase those other two guys and will continue to, I think, for the next couple of weeks, trying to get somebody that needs a backup quarterback to take the bait a little bit on one of them.
Yeah, you want him to get reps, but you know he's not ready. I think they think they know he's not ready. They don't want him to play at all this year. Right, he'll be the three. He's going to be a guy to develop, but probably worth showcasing. Is that it, Tyler? Are we all set?
That is it, yep.
Man, I am, Tony, I got to say a big thank you to the creator of the portable restroom, right? Because, man, all of a sudden, you know, you go, I go from 0 to 60 sometimes, and I just had to run right after. That was a, I was, let's say, just racing through this Dayton football at that point in time.
I saw you were doing the pee-pee dance.
I was doing a squirm, a little bit of a squirm over there.
You're sitting over here next to me before you got the guy. It's funny, you know, my roommate is a state trooper. I know a bunch of his buddies, too, the police officers, and I'll ride down the road with him. And he'll just point out the porta potties that he's used.
Is that right?
Like, he's just like, yep, been to that one. Yep, been to that one. Yep, been to that one. Just the ones that are on the side of the road when you're out there, you know, handling an accident. You got to go. You got to go. They're all over the place. I didn't even realize.
I mean, I walk around the neighborhood, right? And so you sweat, and you, if anything, you're going to get dehydrated, right? And you're not going to have to go to the bathroom. And then I make that turn for home, much like the drill in the morning, making that turn for home. And I see they're building a house on the corner of a block about two streets over from where I live. And so there's a porta potty right there at the corner. And I see that thing and I'm like, it's like Pavlov's dog, man. I just got to go. It's just, I don't know what's wrong with
it. Now, you can always go number one, a porta potty, but number two for me personally, that's unacceptable.
No. I will crawl home. I will roll home if I have to. That's not happening.
It is funny. I do want to mention, too, I saw, I don't know what the over-under is on the number of responses that John McClain's going to get on this particular tweet after the fiasco we talked about a little bit yesterday with Jadeveon Clowney not being willing to talk to John McClain and McClain making the joke, did he think he'd get hurt talking to me, basically. But apparently Clowney was over to the side today at Texans practice with trainers taking a look at him he was down on one knee. And John McClain tweeted out about it. And I saw at least 8 or 9 responses from Jaguars fans basically saying, did you ask him a question? Is that why he got hurt? I can't imagine what McClain's notifications look like right now after that tweet. There's got to be hundreds of that joke coming at him at this moment.
No question about it. Look, McClain, they got a little salty with him yesterday. They were not pleased with him questioning Jadeveon Clowney and his toughness. I understand. It's a common frustration when you're out on the outside and a guy just never seems to be available and you get frustrated. And it's like we pointed out with Marquise Lee. It's no different. You don't think Marquise Lee wants to be out there every minute playing football? It's what he's done his whole life. It's what he loves to do. It's not like he's not, you know, trying to prepare or anything like that. He's just had a run of bad luck in that regard. And, you know, maybe it's the same with Clowney and he'll turn it around. I love when the listeners just come on up and give us a fist pound or
a handshake.
By the
way, he didn't go back to practice. Clowney apparently is fine.
It's all right.
No, this injury, at
hopefully,
least, is
hopefully
not
he
serious.
Keeps playing at that high level that he's been since he entered the league.
Oh yeah,
to this point in time. Hey, let's hear a little bit. We heard earlier Claude called in and suggested one of the breakout candidates this year for most improved would be Rashad Greene. That is the question of the day, by the way. Which returning Jaguar who played? If you want to answer Dante Fowler, fine. That's silly. But a guy who played last year, you know what we're asking. That will be the most improved player in 2016. Rashad Greene's among those that have been mentioned. Amanda Borges was able to catch up with the second-year Jaguar wide receiver yesterday.
Amanda Borges here with Jaguars wide receiver Rashad Greene. Rashad, what was it like reuniting with Jameis Winston out there?
It was good. You know, we got a chance to chat a little bit, but we was on opposite fields, so I didn't get a chance to see him, you know, perform that much. But, you know, it's always good to see those guys' faces and reunite with, you know, guys that you made history with.
How do you prepare for something like this? I know it's just practice, but when another team comes in, it's going to get competitive, right?
Yeah, most definitely. But it's your approach, how you approach it every day. It's practice, but, you know, my approach to it is trying to get better every day, and I stay within that same mindset regardless of whether it's practice or a game. You know, just try to always have myself prepared and ready.
Did it feel good to go up against a different defense today?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's always good going against somebody different than your teammates every day just to get a different look, and it was good for us.
How's training camp going for you, would you say?
It's going really well. I feel pretty good, you know, a lot better than I did last year, so that's a plus. And, you know, I think I'm ahead of the game compared to where I was last year.
How comfortable do you feel in your second year?
I'm very comfortable. I'm ready to go out there and just help this team get where we want to be, and that's pretty much all that matters to me.
So the Bucks are going to be here tomorrow, and then you play against them Saturday. Does that change your mindset at all when you've gone up against them 2 days in a row and then you play them on Saturday?
Not at all. You know, just going out there and competing and have fun and, you know, just show what you got and put it on tape.
A lot of people have noticed Blake Bortles has really improved, specifically in practice. What have you seen from him?
Most definitely improving from all aspects, you know, of the game when it comes to checking stuff, noticing coverages, knowing where to go with the ball, you know, where to put the ball. It's just tremendous of the offseason that guy's had and the work he put in. So, you know, I definitely commend him on that.
Thanks, Rashad.
No problem.
We're talking, I guess it was with Logman the other day, about how they may utilize him compared to Marquise Lee. Everyone's healthy for an extended period of time, which you certainly hope is the case. Tony, kind of between the 20s maybe, you want your field stretcher out there, right? And you move Allen Hurns into the slot. I think Rashad Greene did a nice job of working the middle from the slot, and they threw to him. They looked for him in the red zone. I think you could see that configuration, Hurns back on the outside, if they go three wide in the red zone. That's Rashad Greene's territory. You agree?
Yeah, and Loggeman talked a lot about, too, the idea of Marquise Lee probably being their first and second down guy, and Rashad Greene's more that third down, mm-hmm. you know, kind of find the spaces in the defense guy. That's what he would excel at when he was at Florida State with Jameis Winston. He was pretty good at it last year in his rookie year, too, when he was able to be out on the field as a wide receiver. So, yeah, I think there are roles that they have in mind for he and Marquise Lee. Marquise is that guy who can bust the big one. Rashad's that guy that's going to make the play that's there, and you feel pretty good that he's going to make that play that's there, which sounds more like a third down and red zone type target.
By the way, speaking of Amanda Borges, look for her in the parking lot. Pre-game show, she'll be cruising the parking lot looking for great tailgating stories, Jaguar fan reaction.
Bring food into me this year.
Maybe. Well, she's bringing it to us. She has to get by you. You're the gatekeeper this year.
Yeah.
So that you have a shot. Let's hear a little bit from Gus Bradley. T-Week's going to join us here in a few minutes as well. Gus Bradley talking about practice yesterday, and here's how he characterized it.
Very good. I loved it. I thought it was great for our team. A lot that we can take from this practice. I think physically we showed up mentally. You could see some guys had a little bit of anxiety. I think they had to work through that part. But as far as the learning lessons from this and practice tempo and seeing different looks, outstanding.
It was funny. I saw Jonathan Cyprian after practice yesterday on Twitter last night. He basically tweeted something along the lines of, "It seems like everybody expects us to fight. We grown men." Like, that was what Cyprian had to say.
Because grown men never fight.
But Gus Bradley talked about that yesterday with the inner squad taking on another team in practice. Says the guys acted like pros. No poise, no fights out there.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, the attitude, the approach to this, and then poise. Poise was a big word the last couple days with our players, and I thought there's things we'll have to clean up. I know there's some hits that maybe were a little bit after the whistle, but for the most part, I thought it was real professional. The guys handled it like pros, and it really worked out well.
A lot going on, obviously, as you heard Rashad Greene say, multiple practice fields. You really can't keep up with what a lot of the other players are doing. Gus was asked after practice where his focus was yesterday.
I was on the offensive side, so you try to peek over there, but I think it's more the mentality. You know, the coming out, and do we bring our style of play from practice to a more heightened environment? Did I see the same things we saw in practice? So, you know, you have a quick judgment after practice, but you want to watch tape and see how it all comes together. But, you know, I know defensively felt pretty good, like the guys came out. Offensively, we struggled right away. I think the first 9 of 7, 5 plays, we had 3 penalties. You know, so there's some signs right there that we weren't quite locked into what we needed to be. So, but that's the lessons we'll learn.
Gus said that he's going to have to watch the tape. Like he said, he can only be in one place out there in practice. So he says watching the tape will tell him a lot about yesterday's practice.
I think now watching the tape will be big, you know, to be able to look at these looks and some of the pressures and things like that. Because you do have your base fundamentals. You should be able to go in. Last week we said we're just going to play rules ball. Go in there, follow your rules, and play. And really, you know, I think the message to our team now is it's about us. Because if we made mistakes, if we didn't line up right, we didn't run a play right, it's going to come back to what we need to do. And I think that will be a real powerful message for our team.
All right, I'm sure Gus will talk today after practice as well, so we'll bring you those thoughts tomorrow on the program.
I know he's talking to SportsCenter.
That's right.
He is.
So he and Blake are both
talking
to SportsCenter. That's a good point. Maybe we'll get somebody else, another coordinator or something along those lines today. We'll find out coming up shortly. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We're going to step aside. We'll come back. T-Wig going to join us from the Midday Chalk. He's been out there taking it in today, and he is going to give us every detail. I believe T-Wig charted every play today and knows what every player did on every snap. So we'll look forward to that thorough detail coming your way. T-Wig steps into the booth next. It's Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony on Jaguars Today, live outside EverBank in the Florida Blue practice fields on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue live here outside the Florida Blue practice fields. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Steve Griffin, our GM, was taking in practice today. He's heading back over to the radio station. Tony said that he's was watching Kelvin Beachum, said he looked pretty good. He's working with the twos and threes, kind of working his way in, but he was doing team drills today, so that's good for Kelvin Beachum. We'll see. It was not as impressed with what he saw from Mackenzie Bernadeau, however, but let's ask T-Wig if he's seen that because he charts every snap, baby. I'm kidding with you. How are you, man?
I'm good, man.
What's up with that hamstring of yours,
I don't
man?
Know.
Are you soft? Are you soft? Can I ask that question?
No. I'm hard as granite. That's the problem. I need to be a little more flexible.
Yes.
Yeah, everything's snapping and tense.
It just shows me how much you really have the bug that because you hurt yourself and you weren't even going to wait for it to heal. And you're like, I think it'll be okay. I can go swing this 9-iron. It's not going to kill me.
Yep. Nope. Snap. There it went again.
There went the hamstring.
Yep. But I had something to help me get over the pain.
That's excellent.
A little water.
Was it? Oh, a little water.
A little water.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good
for you.
I think
I know your brand of water.
Brown?
No. This one was aged and made with potatoes. It was clear.
Oh, nice. Yeah. A little vodka water.
There
excellent.
You go. There
I love
you
go. It, man. So what did you see out there today? Were you able to, you know, it's difficult because we ask people, did you see this guy? There's multiple fields. There's 180 players going on. But were you able to take a look at what was going on today with the offensive line at all?
I did not look at much of the offensive line because I kind of peeked in on them yesterday a little bit. Because they're in shells, the place where you're going to get the most competition is in the receiver cornerback deals. And unfortunately for me, it's easier for me to watch from where I was positioned, it was easier for me to watch our receivers against the Buccaneers defensive backs as opposed to the other way around. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much even. The Bucs were able to make a few plays. I got caught up watching Vernon Hargraves the third because he's bigger than I thought. He's taller. Brent Grimes is tiny. Vernon Hargraves the third does not look like he's 5'10". 200 pounds. It looks like he's 6 feet, 6'1". He's a bigger kid than I thought he was. But he apparently has been struggling a little bit because he has to play inside and play the nickel, and he's just not used to it. I was talking to the ESPN reporter from Tampa Bay about him, and I was standing next to Brady Ackerman, who knows the ins and outs of technique and all of that. And he was telling me where he was doing good and where he wasn't. But the Jaguars receivers were able to make some plays, and that's encouraging because when they go up against other people instead of their own that are used to them, you want to be able to see if they're still able to get open and do some things, and they were able to do it.
Yeah, and it would have been nice to, you know, have the perspective, too. I know you got to watch the Jags receivers against their DBs. Just with the size they have at wide receiver in Tampa Bay, to watch, you know, Prince Amukamara, who's had a really good camp, and he's been okay against Allen Robinson. Now, A-Rob's going to get the better of pretty much anybody that he's going up against, but to see him potentially go up against Mike Evans and, you know, the guys that they have over there at Tampa, Vincent Jackson, the size that they have at wide receiver would have been fun to see just how those one-on-one matchups play out.
I saw some of that.
Hold on. David Garrard.
Don't even wait.
Are you really going to walk by without even just acknowledging that we're sitting here? You don't have to come on. Just, you're not even going to raise your hand. Hello.
He didn't even speak to us,
or
man.
What's going on? This guy. It's he's looking at, yeah, well, that's your problem.
Y'all can't even see
You thought we rated an inside spot. That is your problem, David Gore. I just didn't know if he actually – I kind of felt like he saw us and purposely kept going.
Just out of the corner of his eyes, like, there's the nerds in the class.
Pretty sure that was what's happening. Right.
You know what? Dave walked by us like he owed us money, and he didn't want to make eye contact.
Gots to go. All right, man, get out of here, and we'll see you next week. We'll get you on next week, David Gore. Is going to be otherwise indisposed tomorrow on the program, or maybe he just didn't want to see me. It might be that. I got that vibe right there. Sorry, T-Wig. I had to get that in. Where were we?
Back to those receivers. I saw that matchup yesterday, their receivers versus our corners. Our corners do a really good job of sticking with those guys. The young corners that we have, particularly Jalen, you would expect the one play that I saw yesterday, Vincent Jackson gave him the okey-doke, but you're talking about a seasoned veteran who, while he doesn't get a lot of separation because that's not his game at this point, he's going to use that footwork and he's going to take advantage of the fact that Jalen is dependent right now solely on physical ability and not that technique. And he got him. He got him good. He put a little outside-inside back-out move, and it was almost like a cheetah who got fooled by the gazelle. But their receivers don't get a lot of separation. They're just big, and they're physical. And Jameis has a way of placing the ball for them to go up and get. When I say they're big, Allen Robinson's big. Those guys are huge.
I've been saying that all morning, man. I walked in behind that group, those two receivers, and DeMar Dotson, who is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is an offensive tackle, 6'9", well over 300 pounds. You're right, though. They are big, thick, strong. I mean, Vincent Jackson's 6'5", I think. He used to be able to separate.
Yeah, he's about 230.
He used to return punts in college at that size. So, I mean, the guy could fly, but now he has become more of a crafty guy. I mean, you know, Jameis was used to that with Kelvin Benjamin, man. I mean, you know, he had a guy that when it was third down and he needed a bailout, he'd go to the guy that other people just couldn't high point with, and he's got two of those right now.
Yes, he does. You throw in, I don't even know if he's running with the ones. You throw in Austin Seferian Jenkins, if that's how.
Right, Cameron Brate's been going back and forth with him all
summer.
He's
6'7". I mean, they're a tall team when you consider how big their line is. So that presents a little bit of a challenge for the Jaguars, who on their defensive line, sure, they have Jared Odrick, who's 6'5", and Malik Jackson, who's 6'6". But outside of that, they're not tall up front. So it could present a matchup of big, girthy size versus quickness and speed. And with Telvin, this is why you need, when you play a team like that, you have to get off the field. And the only matchup that I can think of that the Jaguars will have that type of a problem, I don't know how good they are, but Tennessee. Tennessee's big and physical, and I got those big running backs. If you don't get off the field on third down with a team like that, it could cause you a lot of problems if you play the type of football that the Jaguars play, where they float the ball and they run and they're fast but not particularly big in the front seven, that could pose a problem.
I know something we haven't had a chance to really talk about much today, but I heard you boys on the chalk talking about it yesterday. It's something that Ryan O'Halloran, we've had this discussion with him, when we talk about what this team is going to do in nickel and the addition of Miles Jack and where does he fit in, and everyone assumes that at some point it's going to be Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. What we saw in the first preseason game, those two big plays, it looked like Telvin Smith was a guy that it may not be only his fault, but certainly there is plenty of blame to go towards Telvin. And if you go back and watch his first couple of years, there have been times where quarterbacks have been able to manipulate him in that same kind of way, and it's not good to see that same thing showing up again in the first preseason game. Apparently didn't have a great practice with that kind of thing yesterday as well for the Jags. Maybe there is a bit more concern with Telvin Smith as a coverage linebacker than everyone realizes to this point.
I'm wondering what it is. Is it diagnosis, or is it the fact that, look, they say he's 220. There's no telling how much weight he loses at every practice when he's out here running. And during the season, there's no telling if he's 212. I wonder if, because the question with Telvin is always, can he take on blocks? Is he hell-bent on always just proving that point and being so willing to look into that backfield and being ready to stick his nose in there because he believes it's coming, that he's spending that half second with his nose tucked in there and people are getting behind him. I don't know what it is, but I would like to know, and one day somebody's going to ask that question, and why does it always seem like 50's chasing people in the middle of the field?
I don't think it's that, though, because he's been such a volume tackler that he's physical enough. He can bring down big ball carriers. You know what I mean? I don't think he's got the mindset, I got to show I can get off a block. I just think we've all played sports, whatever it is. You try to anticipate what the other guy is going to do and to make the hero play. And I think that's where he's at right now. He's got this speed, and people always talk about, well, what he needs to add to his game now are the splash plays. We need more splash plays out of him. And I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to anticipate and get the jump. And I just think he's getting worked right now like he did the other night with a veteran quarterback. You're going to take advantage of that over-aggressiveness.
Gerard said he bit the cheese.
He bit, right. They showed him the cheese and he went right for it.
Well, see, that's the problem, because you know what I hear all the good coaches say? Do your job.
Right.
Don't try to be a hero.
Gus says it all the time.
Yeah. It's hard to do your job when the team around you isn't very good because you feel like you got to play a hero. Apparently now that's not the problem. If the personnel is good enough now, if you don't just do your job and trust your teammates, then you should be on the sideline, because now if the personnel is good enough, you have to just focus on what you're supposed to do and trust the system and trust the people around you.
Question today that we're asking on social media is, which returning player — Dante Fowler doesn't count — which returning player who played for the team last year will show the most improvement in 2016. I'm springing this one on you, but who's the first name that pops to mind for you as the most improved?
I think I've said this before, so it's an easy answer for me. I saw the first preseason game. I really believe, with all the talk about Brandon Linder, the steal of a draft 2 years ago was A.J. Cann, and I really believe, from what I saw the other night, when I saw not only the screen plays, but how much success the right side of the offensive line had, the fact that he's so valuable, he's the backup right tackle as well. I think A.J. Cann was a steal in the third round a couple of years ago.
Last year, yeah.
Right. I think A.J. Cann is going to be the guy that takes that jump, and he'll join Brandon Linder as that other guy that people around the league talk about as a future Pro Bowler.
If that's the case, then you've got goes from a solid right side of the line to maybe an exceptional right side of the line, which would be great to see. All right, T-Wig, what do you guys have cooking for the midday chalk today?
I'm going to stay here and do some locker room. I don't know if I need to wrap myself in bubble wrap based on, you know, I don't want anybody to
don't get
mad
between Jalen Ramsey and Ryan O'Halloran, apparently.
I don't want anything to go down like that, yeah, but I'm going to try to dig deep and get behind the scenes and get as much information as I can. And I even got a nice little gadget that Tom Champion gave me. I'm gadgeted up now, man. I'm trying to be.
I'm guessing that's a digital recorder.
That's what it is.
Yes.
You know?
So you can look like a reporter in the locker room.
I feel like Get Smart now. I got a little stuff with little microphones and foam covers on them. So, yeah, now I'm just going to the locker room and see what they have to say and maybe try to ask a few questions that are kind of organic and see if I can get some information out of folks, and then I'll take it back to the chalk.
All right. We will be listening to you. We always good to see you, my brother.
You
and
too,
get that thing wrapped or do something, because we got to get out on the course. I know you're not ready to play, but you are ready to play. You're never ready.
I got to give props to Coward. I've seen Coward play two or three times. Yesterday was the best I've ever seen him play.
It's a low bar.
No,
I'm kidding.
No, really.
Joe when he's on his game. He can play very well.
Joe, the worst I saw him play yesterday.
Where'd you guys play?
Southampton.
Okay.
He had a six on a four. He had a six on a par four, and he went in the bushes and he still managed to get a six. So he parred, I didn't see him birdie, but he parred. That was the best I ever seen him play. I'm encouraged.
All right. There you go. Yeah, Joe Coward's game has encouraged T-Wig that once that hamstring is better, he's going to be on his path to senior tour glory. We'll see you, buddy.
All right, man.
There he goes. T-Wig here with us on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Coming back, we'll get your reaction to the fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Who will be the most improved returning Jaguar for 2016. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony live at Everbank, just outside the Florida Blue practice fields. Jaguars practice continues against the Buccaneers. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
I was banging those balls with too much power. I have to use more finesse.
That happens.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars hosted the Buccaneers for the first of two practices yesterday. Gus was happy with the way practice went, and his players felt the same way, for the most part. According to linebacker Telvin Smith, there wasn't nearly enough trash talk.
I am a little. I wish it was more, a little more confrontation out there. I ain't want to stir too much up because I know when I get started, I go a little too far. But we're going to see what happens.
The Jags are on the field right now for day two of joint practice with Tampa Bay. Practices from 10 to 12:30. They are at capacity. No more tickets are available. They will turn you away. But good news, if you didn't get a ticket for these two practices, well, you can see the Jags and Bucks play Saturday at 7:30 for the second preseason game of the year. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Definitely Jacksonville's football station. Definitely Jacksonville's Jaguars show right here. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, alive just outside Everbank. Tony, still ongoing a little bit of practice, so hopefully we can catch a little bit when we wrap up today. It was pretty much done right as we got off the air yesterday.
Yeah.
Just timed up poorly for you,
no,
and
it's
I.
It's a little sad. This is the last day we're going to be out here doing this live.
Right, unless you want to come out and watch guys stretch, which has never been our forte. So
no.
We will not be at another practice this year.
This is it.
This is it.
We'll be back down here at the stadium soon, hopefully, for Jaguars Today again. And when we come back, exciting for everyone out there, I think you'll be able to watch the show as well as listen to it. They're going to be streaming anything that's going on in that studio.
Are we going to pander to the visual audience on this? Are we going to, you know, have props and things like that?
We should figure something out.
We should do something, right? We should have like a wall of shame that we put people on. Or who knows what? I don't know. The bobblehead thing has been taken. Someone's got the bobblehead thing.
Yeah.
Well, we always have those Fortunato and Gus Bradley bobbleheads that are always lurking around here at Everbank. You see them everywhere in all kinds of cubicles.
Yeah, but they won't give me one.
No. Well,
I've asked.
No, they, it's the way it goes.
Because I do.
They don't hand those out with a press credential.
I have two or three shelves of bobbleheads at the house.
Do you?
Yeah, just in the living room at the house.
But I might have.
I can't get a Gus Bradley. I would love to add a Gus Bradley to the collection. Joe Fortunato, whatever. I don't need a Fortunato head.
Oh, I'm going to tell. I might have three bobbleheads, if that. I've got Peter Bragan Sr. bobblehead.
Nice.
That talks. I've got a Derek Jeter bobblehead. And I don't know. That might actually be it.
We got three or four Walking Dead.
Do you?
So we got like Grimes and a couple other characters on there. But, yeah, we got a bunch. We got a couple dozen.
All right. And you don't even watch. When's the last time you watched Walking Dead? Like two seasons ago?
At least, yeah. It's too soap opera-y for me.
I love it. It's fantastic, man. Either that or you're just going to have a great binge session one day. I do.
Could be that.
I guess I'm jealous of that. Let's take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, shall we, where we ask folks today who will be the most improved Jaguar, returning Jaguar for 2016. Someone who played for the Jags last year, and that means they played, unlike Dante Fowler Jr. We still got his name submitted several times. Tony, what kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Duval Doom. I hope it's Julius Thomas. That would be something. From Ronald Cyprian. From Jordan, he agrees with Sip. From Jimbo, the Albino Tigers. So Marquise Lee getting a vote. From Jeff, TJ Yeldon. From Alvaro, Blake Bortles. From Andy, how about Jason Myers? I think his extra point problems can be fixed. Do that, and he's a good kicker. From Chad, on the offense, Linder, the defensive line, Bender. And on defense, Puzz, God of Thunder. Hashtag don't play by the rules. Hashtag take it to the limit. From Demetrius, right guard AJ Cann with a more understanding of the zone slash gap scheme. I believe he'll take the biggest step. From Jay, we got Julius Thomas. From Eric, TJ Yeldon will be the most improved. Show great patience against New York and letting his line open up holes for him. And finally, from Jag Fan, another vote for TJ Yeldon. Looks faster, more decisive last week. Had the offseason to recover from last season.
A few on Facebook, a lot of the same people being mentioned here. Jason went with it's easy, Marquise Lee. The man was the best wide receiver in the entire country only a few years ago, and healthy, he'll be a weapon. Lee Markham said, hopefully Blake Bortles, most important position on the field. Justin said, if you can stay on the field more than on the bench, it's Marquise Lee. That's a pretty low bar to set. Daniel went with Luke Jokel, will be surprisingly better. You won't notice him, which will be a good thing. Dalton went with Rashad Green. Last year we only have a taste of what he has to offer. TJ Yeldon said Chris. Let's see. Marshall is out there. He said, I'm sitting here watching practice, which we love the fact that you're interacting with the show while you watch practice. It has to be Blake. If he gets better, we get better, period. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Ronald Davis said, Cindric Marks, he has a guy fresh on his heels and a big money free agent that has taken his spot as a starter. When the pressure's on, guys like him rise to the occasion. Hashtag 99 problems, but this job ain't one. You could be talking about us too, brother, I tell you that. Joe went with Blake, another Cindric vote. Allen Robinson getting some love, despite the fact that he had take your picks and Cindric Marks and Marquise Lee, Sid Damon, Dante Fowler, Yeldon, Jared Odrick getting a vote. Jason Myers got another vote with a hashtag, that's great job! Would it be a curse or a good mojo in my startup Dynasty Fantasy League? We're in the 28th round now, 30 rounds to go.
Uh-huh.
If I select Jason Myers in the 30th round, will that be a good, a positive omen, or will that put the hex on him this year? What do you think?
Positive?
I think I'm going to go for it. My first pick was Allen Robinson, and my second defense, I had Seattle's defense and special teams, but my next one that I took was the Jags because they're going to be coming into their own, and you keep these forever. So I will end the team, I think, with Jason Myers.
I still think we ought to combine all of it for fantasy purposes. I think defense and special teams should include the kicker.
It's a great suggestion. It really is a great suggestion. I think maybe we'll try a league like that someday. You and I were just talking about that with Tyler on the break, as a matter of fact. Listener leagues coming back. We don't have to worry about inviting the champ back. I'll be back, okay? In both. I'll be back in both. Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. So there's one more space for a listener this year, but we're going to do two fantasy leagues this year, and our plan is to draft on the Monday and Tuesday night leading into the first week of games. So they'll have that Thursday night opener. Who's the Thursday? It's Denver and whom this year? Is it a rematch? Is it a Super Bowl rematch between them and Carolina?
Maybe. I don't know.
I might be mistaken there. But we're going to draft that Monday and Tuesday night. Don't start, please, inundating me with emails and tweets. How do I get in? How do I get in? We'll probably settle that maybe over the course of next week. Certainly the week after that, we'll have that locked in. And Bronco, it is Broncos Panthers. Thank you, Tyler. Will be the opener, Super Bowl rematch here. So we'll do two leagues. The big point of contention last year, despite the fact that we said it plenty of times before the draft, was last year we didn't allow trading in our leagues, Tony. And it's because Tony and I play in so many leagues that we don't have time to keep track of all of them to the degree we'd like to. So we try to simplify it. And so Tyler is stumping for a trade provision this year.
I'm campaigning hard. I think that's more of a you problem than a league problem.
Is that more of a me problem?
Yeah, I think that's more of a you problem.
Considering we're putting on the leagues, it's an everybody problem.
I was going to say, I have no issue being in a league that doesn't allow trades.
Neither do I.
But see, I lost guys early in the season last year, and after that, you're screwed, especially if you lose.
Grind that waiver wire. Ooh. Grind it. Grind that wire.
Come on.
I'll
be the commissioner if we can allow trading. I'll take on the responsibility of the league.
There's like no responsibility to, once you
That's
get one of these leagues up
and running.
I know he is. He's the master of not having any responsibility.
By the way, I think we're going to record our first episode of the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show
next Friday. And later Saturday, we're going to do two preseason shows, right, to get folks ready for drafting. And we're going to focus on our first show, which will air a week from Saturday, heavily on the Jags from a fantasy perspective because they have one of the best. If you were just going to select all the players from one team in the National Football League, they'd be one of the first teams you would want to take because they have such great options at the offensive skill position. So you're right. We'll do that next week. People have been asking us as well, is the radio show returning? Right now it doesn't look like it is. Our fantasy radio show, the fantasy forecast that we've done for the last umpteen years, but there probably will be a podcast that we'll have up on 1010XL.com. So listen for that as fantasy season approaches rapidly as well. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for joining us today in reverse order of appearance to T-Wig, to Ryan O'Halloran, and to J.P. Shadrick, all covering the Jacksonville Jaguars in their own inimitable styles. Midday Chalk will be coming up in just a few minutes, so stick around for that. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off as we say goodbye to open practices for the Jaguars, but we inch ever closer to the 2016 season. Have a great day, everybody. This has been Jaguars Today. Midday Chalk is next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.